The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. Look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel from the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come, see the place where they laid him. Now hurry. Go and tell his disciples, he's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. I've given the message to you." With great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I am going into Galilee. They will see me there." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Good morning. I have to tell you, it is weird, weird, weird to be up here preaching to a vacant church on Easter, no less. Maybe I should look out at the empty pews and imagine you there. I think I have to close my eyes in order to do that. Yeah, I can see you with my eyes closed. But when I open them again, it's just empty pews. And those kind of override my imagination, and you're not here again. So let me just focus my attention on this little iPhone, on this tripod that's plunked down right where you sit. I'm going to trust this little technological miracle that's in front of me. This unlikely icon of connection. It doesn't feel like it at this moment, but I know and believe that we are together. Together in this emptiness. It's kind of an unbelievable scenario, an empty church on Easter Sunday, of all Sundays. But I have to tell you, I can't shake the feeling that it's somehow a perfect setting to understand something new about Easter. I mean, come on, an empty church, empty tomb. It doesn't stop there. Unthinkable events in the news, death tolls, systems failures, heroism, sacrifice, beautiful acts of service and cooperation, economic meltdown, some global cooling. The world as we have known it has changed. What has seemed impossible to imagine is now somehow imaginable. And unthinkable events also in the gospel story that we just heard. Earthquakes, angels, resurrection. What has seemed impossible to imagine is now somehow imaginable. Maybe, just maybe, this Easter, conditions are as ripe as they ever will be for us to wake up to a new reality, to imagine something new and beautiful that we haven't imagined before. What could it be? At Easter, we celebrate that Jesus has triumphed over death. He has risen. He has been brought back to life. But how does this lofty message square with the crushing sadness and confusion of this particular moment in history. This moment that's so full of suffering, death, grief, worry, unemployment, loss. What do we do with all of the grief in this moment of Easter joy? I think what we do is we follow Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and we walk toward it, toward the grief. We visit the tomb. We let all of this be. We consent to it. We honor our powerlessness to plow ahead into comfort and immediate relief. This moment offers an invitation to still and quiet ourselves, to let Easter emerge precisely from the tomb-like heaviness, from the fertile ground of this pandemic moment. We can do this because the good news of Easter is that Jesus, the Christ, is alive. Alive in all things. Creation, existence, it's all Christ now. The resurrected body of Christ emerges from the tomb and becomes everything. If we'll just see it, we can wake up knowing that we're a part of it. All of it sanctified. Even this, especially this moment we find ourselves in. Because even in death, Christ is alive. So we don't have to build walls around our experiences. We don't have to separate them out and label them. We're not here this morning taking a break from sorrow to experience a little bit of joy. We don't have to get somewhere else from here. Jesus is here in this jumbled up moment, in all of its complexity and strangeness. The grief of what has been lost coexists and intermingles with the joyful Easter relief that Jesus is present in the midst of everything. You see, Christ rises up from death into life everywhere, in every situation. And it looks so many different ways. Christ is in every act of tending, healing, and repairing. Christ is in the void, bearing witness in the midst of trauma and hopelessness. Christ is weeping with us, moaning with us, holding us in our dying. Christ rises up in our laughter, rejoices with us when we recover, delights with us in our amusements, connects with us through this little iPhone, dances and sings with us, gives the birds their songs. The risen Christ fills even the emptiness of the tomb and the emptiness of this church. Emptiness itself is full of Christ. The risen Christ is alive in our lack and in our longing, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Christ is present in all of the absences of our lives. The risen Christ is alive in you and me, ready to fill us up. And you know what? That means we don't have to be so full of ourselves. With the fullness of Christ in us, we can empty ourselves of what is old and stale, letting go of our self-serving ways, giving ourselves over to Christ who wants to live in us and through us. Our rational, strategic, everyday minds might register this before our spiritual bodies. And so right now there's all this spring cleaning going on and all the advice we get about it in the news, the Marie Kondoing, the tending to our nests during this time. We can do that spiritually too. It's time to clean out our spiritual houses also, so that our souls can come fully alive. To do this cleaning out, to empty ourselves, trust is required. Trust of grief, trust of emptiness, trust of goodness and love, trust that Christ is alive in all of it, that all of it is in fact Christ, alive right here in this place, in this moment that we find ourselves. Because if we can't trust the emptiness, we will never let go of the small-minded versions of ourselves that give us shape like stuffing in a child's toy. But if we can trust the emptiness, then what rises up is not actually us, but Christ in us. Then the world can come into its most beautiful form, which is the reign of God, the beloved community, the world of balance, equality, mutual interdependence, and kindness that we dream of, sing about, call in, and pray for. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary show us how to do this emptying. They are our teachers of how to fold the shocking truth of Easter into our lives this morning. What is it they do? What is it that they do? When they encounter Jesus, they fall to their knees and grab his feet to worship him. Then he gives them work to do. This Easter, we're halfway there with them already. We've all been brought to our knees by this coronavirus. How about we honor the mystery of this Easter moment by staying down on our knees a little while longer? In fact, what if we stay down? What if we never stand up and just let God stand up in us? Alleluia. Christ is rising, rising in you. Happy Easter.